Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Monday, March 19th. This is your boy Matt Shook. I'm an AP writer out here in Chicago covering the NBA. Been following these Pistons for my whole life and really extensively this season as well. And what a season to pick, as it's been a roller coaster and obviously one that continues to climb downward as the season crawls to a finish sometime soon here. But the Pistons kind of escaped under the cover of March Madness over the weekend, as most Michigan basketball fans had their eyes on the Spartans and the Wolverines and the whole NCAA tournament and UMBC and Loyola Chicago, all those nice storylines from the NCAA tournament. Obviously, the NBA takes a little bit of a backseat in March to that. Thankfully for the Pistons' sake, as the struggles continue, we're going to be talking about that Saturday loss to the Portland Trailblazers, and also about Twitter tough guy Evan Turner, the Buckeye, who's living up to his Ohio State roots with his Twitter tough guy talk on Stan Van Gundy. Nobody talks bad about Stan Van Gundy except for us, Pistons fans. We're the ones that can only talk bad about our coach. But we'll also have a chat a little bit later on with Lauren Jabara. You know Lauren. She's the in-game host for Pistons games at Little Caesars Arena. She had some good behind-the-scenes stuff to share about the team and what's going on with game operations in Detroit as well with the Pistons. But I want to tell you guys about my guys from Ash Supply Company in downtown Detroit. I've been drinking their coffee every day for a few weeks now. I got beans in my variety pack from Burundi, Kenya, and Guatemala. Ash Supply Company is a Detroit business that's growing in the heart of the city, and it's the coffee that is driving Detroit's rebuild. It's not just coffee with these guys. It's a lifestyle. They're my guys, Mike and AJ, and they built this company from the ground up. Wayne State grads, and I've known these guys for a long time. I give it to gifts to serious and satisfied coffee fans. They got the two locations in downtown Detroit that you should visit. And the coffee is available at retailers all over the metro area, and also for me at Goddess and the Baker here in downtown Chicago. But Locked On Pistons is giving you a great offer for coffee to come to you monthly. Go ahead and visit ashsupplycompany.com, A-S-H-E, supply, C-O.com, and use promo code LOCKED at checkout for 20% off one of Ash Supply Company's subscription plans. Make your choice between the subscriptions. You got the Roaster's Choice, Single Origin, featuring the offerings from Latin America, East Africa, or the Pacific Islands. You got the Three Roast Sampler, 3 6-ounce samplers from different regions around the world, or the Drink Coffee Live Wild subscription, which features a Roaster's Choice 12-ounce bag along with a carefully curated coffee-inspired accessory, either a shirt, a coffee-infused candle, or a coffee-infused soap. These guys are supporting the podcast, so you should support them. Again, go to ashsupplycompany.com, A-S-H-E, supplycompany.com. Use promo code LOCKED at checkout for 20% off one of Ash Supply Company's subscription plans. Ash Supply Company, drink coffee, live wild. And if you can believe it, the Pistons dropped another one, 100-87 to the Portland Trailblazers on Saturday night, one of the hottest teams in the NBA. The Blazers picked up their 12th straight win. And the Pistons actually had beaten Portland 5 straight times coming into this one, but now Detroit is 9 games under 500, a new low water mark as the 6-game road trip is now 0-3, heading into a back-to-back tonight and tomorrow night in Sacramento and Phoenix before closing with many people's NBA championship favorite Houston Rockets. The tragic number in terms of the Pistons being officially eliminated from the playoff contention, it's fast approaching. It's in single digits now. Only a matter of time, folks. Obviously, the Pistons with their 12th consecutive road loss really makes you sick to think about that. 17 of 18 on the road. The Pistons go down for posterity's sake. They are now 6.5 games out of the playoffs behind Miami, which is sitting in the eighth and final spot in the Eastern Conference. Pistons now just a half game ahead of the Charlotte Hornets. Just brutal for the ninth place Pistons in the East after a season that started with so much promise. Andre Drummond, 18 points and 22 rebounds on the road. Blake Griffin had 15 points, but not very efficient. The officiating was brutal. I will step up for Stan Van Gundy and say that. Luke Kennard got beat up on a nice basket cut out of a baseline out-of-bounds play about midway through the fourth quarter with the Pistons down 10, which could have made it an eight-point game. Next thing you know, Evan Turner's going down the court, scoring on a baseline jumper, and then a technical foul by Kennard later, and the Pistons are down 13. Some other calls, Blake Griffin got roughed up on a drive that should have been called later on as well. And Stan Van Gundy after the game, he got a technical foul shortly after that drive as well. He went off on the refs at the end of the game, got fined $15,000 by the league on Sunday. He said, quote, "I've been here 4 years and many more years before that, and I've never come in after a game, never come in after a game and talk like this. That was embarrassing." Kind of complaining about the refs. Went on to complain about the Portland clutching and grabbing. It sure is embarrassing, Stan, that's for sure. Feel like he might be losing a little bit of his self-awareness, though. The coach, after your 12th straight road loss, complaining about the refs after a 13-point loss. And again, I watched the game on the replay on Sunday. I was watching the Michigan game live on Saturday night while the game was going on. But, you know, as someone who's kind of forced to watch these games, it's a little telling that, you know, you got fans back at home that all they're going to hear about is the 13-point loss and then their coach complaining. I think we've heard enough from Stan Van Gundy, and I'm not someone to criticize his social stances. It's just fine. But in terms of just becoming the story all the time and just really putting kind of his whiny spin on a lot of things. Again, there was bad officiating, but you just got to maybe think about how this is going to play out when you're talking about a team that everyone has pretty much forgotten in Metro Detroit in a lot of ways for this season. And three-fourths of the fans are probably, you know, clamoring for Stan Van to get fired at this point. So to have that be the headlines closing out the weekend, not great. But Evan Turner, who was in the mix of a lot of the stuff, he was the one who hit Kennard, kind of hip-checked him and took his legs out when he was going up for a layup and then went down and scored later on. He said on Twitter yesterday on Sunday, shout-out to Stan Van Gundy, a true rebel and basketball mind! ! Real badasses are 5'9 and shorter, and he puts a fist emoji after that. So I'm, you know, obviously Ohio State guy. I mean, he's an idiot. He always has been. The next tweet, by the way, everybody was hacking last night, and the Pistons, apostrophe S at the end. I've never seen. I don't know. I mean, I'm a journalist, so obviously those things kind of stick out to me. But if you've ever read anything about sports, you know that teams like the Blazers and Pistons don't have apostrophe S's at the end. But anyway, and the Pistons all-star, he did go to Ohio State, though. And the Pistons all-star didn't get two hands shoved into the stands or any other time down the stretch of the game like Dame did, LOL, and then hashtag, but did you die? ? So pretty illegible tweeting. And I know I'm too old to be reading a lot of these NBA players' tweets and trying to make any sense of it. Maybe some of you younger listeners out there can defend what he's saying. But he's referring to a play late in the game where Damian Lillard drove to the basket with Blake Griffin on him and really and ended up, yeah, into the like the first row or so underneath the baseline. But it was just it wasn't a foul. It wasn't even called a foul. Blake had his hands up the whole time. I mean, certainly you could have called a foul, a shooting foul on it, but it wasn't a shove at all. I mean, it was just like two guys that made contact with each other. Like I said, you could have called a defensive foul on it on Blake, you know, no problem, but there was nothing dirty at all about the play. He was contesting him and hit him up in the arm, so it wasn't like he hit him in the lower body or anything like that. There was nothing dirty about that play whatsoever. Evan Turner, just kind of a noted idiot, always has been, loves himself quite a bit. He was the second pick in the draft, has a really disappointing career, didn't do much in Philly, although scored a lot for some bad teams. Kind of resurrected his career right at the right time with the Boston Celtics. Funny how he had that big contract year right before the summer of 2016, and Pistons fans who follow the cap sheet and the moves that Stan Van Gundy made that summer know about how disastrous that summer could have been. And certainly Portland is feeling the effects of that with the four-year, $70 million contract that Turner has. And Portland's playing really well, obviously. They've overcome that. But when you talk about some of the the salaries that are hurting the Detroit Pistons, or certainly the one that jumps out with the Blazers, is that four-year, $70 million deal for a guy who's playing 25 minutes of the game and not playing in crunch time. And a lot of the advanced stats right now are suggesting that the Blazers are playing a lot better when he's off the court right now. So, I don't know. Evan, maybe continue to keep working on the game instead of mouthing off against we're the Pistons. We're the worst, one of the worst situations in the NBA. So we can't really talk too much because we've got a sitting duck as a coach that's really asking to get run into by players on Twitter and whatnot. But maybe instead of going after our 5'9" quote coach, maybe save it for some of the players the next time you'll see them down the road. But anyway, great that we were able to talk about this stuff here, despite the fact that the Pistons should be right in the middle of a playoff race. But I'm talking about Evan Turner's Twitter feed, so kind of a nightmare there. But the Pistons continue at Sacramento at 10 o'clock tonight. Pistons actually favored by 2.5 points on the road, so that tells you all you need to know about Sacramento right in the middle of Tankathon. Although, playing pretty well lately. They gave Utah a tough game on Saturday night. We know how good Utah is playing lately. The Kings had won two straight before that, and they're 5-5 in their last 10 games. Not really tanking very well if you're a Sacramento fan. Buddy Hield, the second-year player out of Oklahoma, 3 straight games with over 20 points and 5 assists, so he's playing well as of late. The rookie backcourt of De'Aaron Fox and Bogdan Bogdanovic, they're playing well as lately too, so they got them moving in the right direction down in Sacramento and still eyeing a top draft pick next year as well. Well, they'll load up on even more players that will disappear into basketball Siberia for a few years as well. Bogdanovic showed off the sweet stroke during the Rising Stars game, hitting from all over the place to win MVP of that one, and De'Aaron Fox, just a really athletic guard out of Kentucky, who was kind of a favorite for a lot of NBA fans going into the draft this past year. So we'll get an up-close look at them tonight out west if you stay up and watch that one. But we're going to have our interview with Lauren Jabbar of Pistons.com, also a sideline reporter for the Oakland University men's basketball team. We're going to be talking about the Golden Grizzlies and a lot of the goings-on at Little Caesars Arena as well. But if your company is wanting to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring Locked On Pistons. We are listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want to reach that group, our rates are reasonable. So go ahead and get in touch with me by email at Matt_Schoch, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com.
Yes, sir!
And we are now being joined by Lauren Jabbar of Pistons.com, the in-game host in the arena at Little Caesars Arena. And also, you know her from Detroit radio as well, stations like 99.5 and WOMC 104.3. Lauren, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
And obviously for the Pistons, a lot was made this year about the move to Little Caesars Arena. Did you feel like the atmosphere and the fans and everything was kind of coming around as the season has gone on so far this year?
I definitely have felt that. At the beginning of the season, people were hesitant about it. But now that they actually see the arena, see, you know, the energy that's been there, and especially with this whole Blake Griffin trade, like everyone's really been on board. Now, granted, they haven't done very well the last couple games, but, you know, just the energy that's surrounded Little Caesars Arena and the fans have been awesome, and it's a great atmosphere to work in. So I think that as the season has gone on, people have been more excited about the move, and they're adjusting. You know, like people just didn't know what to expect. And I think now that they've been to a few games, that they've seen, you know, the new team that we have, the players, that they've, you know, experienced the new atmosphere at the arena, both Pistons and Red Wings, people are more excited about it and more on board.
And you mentioned the Blake Griffin trade recently, and it seemed like the Toronto Raptors game recently, maybe about 10 days ago, was a pretty good atmosphere from watching it on television. Was that kind of the game that stood out to you that maybe was the closest to a playoff atmosphere that the Pistons have had downtown so far? Or has there been others that maybe stood out to you that have been pretty rocking down there?
Yes. So that Toronto game, it was awesome. Like I've never heard that place get so loud, and I've been to quite a few Red Wings games, and obviously I'm at all of the Pistons games as well. And it was very, very loud. It almost felt like a football stadium. It was cool. And the fans were locked in, and it was nice to see that. It reminded me, you know, back in 2004 when the Pistons used to play at the Palace, remember that season? It was awesome and loud and rocking and fans were on board, and that's how I felt at the Toronto game. Also another one that stood out to me, I think it was February 9th, the Pistons played the Clippers. And that was a really, really cool atmosphere as well. But just in terms of like decibel level and everything else, that Toronto game, it was awesome. And I mean, going into overtime, it was really, really cool to be a part of.
And a couple of ESPN games as well. So showing off for the national TV audience, you mentioned 2004. Mm-hmm. The way that I characterize it to people from out of town is we used to tailgate basketball games in 2004. That's how good it was at the Palace back in those days.
That was a good time. And, I remember those days.
Absolutely. Yeah. Heading to the Palace, and it was a tough ticket to find. But I actually watched the games. I'm out here in Chicago and I watch the games on League Pass. So I don't see a lot of local commercials. I actually get the feed from the in arena. So I see a lot of your reports, and I was impressed with a lot of the extras that they did to kind of keep things lively in the arena with timeouts and halftime and all that stuff. The Pistons dancers, the men and the women doing a great job with that. What were some of the other things that the Pistons have done to keep the crowd engaged throughout the games?
Well, yeah, there's a lot. So this year we have a Pistons drum line, which is really, really cool. I always get excited. For some reason, I think drums are so cool. I wish I could play them, but I can't. And so they're awesome. And then there's also the Pistons extreme team, and they do a bunch of like flips and dunks, and the fans seem to really love that. The dancers obviously are amazing. And then I do a lot of hits with like fans, which keeps fans engaged. So I do a lot with like groups. A lot of the times the players, will buy a group of tickets and give to a nonprofit organization. Like one of them is Kids Kicking Cancer, and they'll bring a lot of kids who are battling or have battled cancer to the games. And then I go up and talk to them and, you know, get a sense of what the group is about, what they're doing, have people tell their stories. And then the fans really love that as well. I remember one game I talked to these two boys. They get the community involved a lot. I talked to these two boys who happened to be walking past an apartment complex on the way back from the park and saw that it was on fire. And these two boys, they were 10, 11 years old. They went around and knocked on everyone's door and ended up saving like 30 people's lives from this fire. So we brought them onto center court and I talked a little bit about their story and recognized them. So I think like besides just the entertainment side, like we're really bringing people from the community in and having people feel involved in the team as well in that aspect, which I think is really cool.
That's an incredible story about those boys. Mm-hmm. Pretty cool to hear. Now, like you said, you spent a lot of time with the players behind the scenes with bits like that and doing interviews and whatnot. This is a pretty easy group to get along with as far as the Pistons. And is there a guy out there or a guy or two out there that have maybe taken the lead on some of those community aspects and things that might have gone unnoticed a little bit this year or in the past few years?
Yeah, so all of the guys on the team are awesome to work with. Truly, like I've never experienced a group of guys that every single person is really nice and accommodating and willing to, you know, talk to you and give you information. When Tobias was here, he was always getting involved in the community. I know his mom was really big on that, and so he was really big on that. Obviously, him and Boban were great people to work with. They moved on to the Clippers. But now, like, Reggie Jackson does a lot. He opened a couple of Reggie's reading rooms at public schools around the Metro Detroit area. So basically, he funds to open libraries up at those schools, which is really, really cool. And, it puts an emphasis on education rather than just athletics. And we obviously know that's a very important thing. You know, people sometimes, if they're good at a sport, you know, they kind of lose the whole academic side, but the players definitely make sure to put emphasis on, you know, how important the education side is. Also, Ish Smith is one of my favorite people to work with. He's really nice. He's always funny, you know, and just always willing to sit down and talk, which is awesome.
Obviously, Blake Griffin has the background of Los Angeles and being in the spotlight and the commercials and all the stuff that he does. But is there a player out there besides him that's particularly media friendly as far as like being really good on camera, being really good with the quick jokes on the interviews and whatnot? Would it be Ish Smith maybe that you could maybe see being involved maybe in the media in the future?
Yeah, like Ish is really good. AT, I mean, truly all the guys. Dre is hilarious on camera. I mean, he pulls out his little dance moves. You know what I'm talking about? Him, Stanley, and Reggie, when they all get together, it's like their personalities feed off of each other, and it's really fun to watch and to, you know, talk to. But I think, like, yeah, all of those guys are amazing. Truly, you can pull any one of them aside, and they could all hold their own and really have a great conversation and be fun and funny and quick with their responses.
It's good. Good to get that behind the scenes information here from Lauren Jabara of Pistons.com, also the in-game host at Little Caesars Arena. And you know her from Detroit Radio as well. But also another one of your gigs that you have in the long list is that you've been doing a lot of sideline reporting for Oakland University, the men's basketball team up in Rochester as well on ESPN3, I believe.
Yes.
They declined a couple invitations for postseason tournaments this year after a strong season. But a bunch of seniors, including the transfer from Illinois, Kendrick Nunn, who had such a great season for them. Do you think that there was a little bit of disappointment from this year? Obviously, they had the NCAA tournament as their main goal for getting into this year. A little bit of a missed opportunity year for the Golden Grizzlies here?
I definitely think so. With the team that they had this year, I mean, they had so much potential, and they still do. But truly, they, like what I said in one of my hits, like, they say when it rains, it pours, and Coach Campy was holding a massive umbrella this season because their injuries just kept, you know, pulling them back. Like, right when everyone was healthy, then another person would get hurt. And it started off this season, Jalen Hayes, he had to sit out the first four games, I believe it was, because of academic probation, even though he was doing the hardest major at their school, and he was like 0.1 GPA short of playing, and it was just one of those stupid NCAA rules, you know, that they have, but that everyone was arguing against. But I mean, he understood, and he knew. He's like, you know, I broke a rule, and that's what I have to sit out. So it already started off the beginning of the season, you know, with Jalen sitting out, and they had to go play Syracuse, they played Toledo, and they played Kansas all away. So that was a tough three-game road stretch for them. And then he came back, and then, you know, Braylon Neely, their point guard, got hurt. And then obviously at the end of the season, Martez Walker, him and Kendrick Nunn were, like, I guess, one of the best 1-2 punches in the nation, in my opinion. He broke his foot, and so he was out the rest of the season. So it's just, when you take away players like that who are scoring, you know, 25 points a game, it's hard. It's really hard to perform to your, you know, level that people should perform to the level that people expected you to perform that season. And also coming into a season with such high expectations, like, everyone was expecting them to, one, win the Horizon League, two, make it to the NCAA, well, not finals, obviously, NCAA tournament, and, you know, have a big season this year, especially with all of their, they had four starting seniors on their team. And one sophomore who's 24 years old. So their team is one of the oldest, I guess, in the NCAA, and they have a lot of talent. But I think when you have that many injuries, it's hard to perform to what the expectations are, just because you're taking away big pieces. It's like you can't finish a puzzle if you don't have every piece, you know?
You mentioned they kind of stacked the early season schedule, given that they had that veteran team coming back. I remember they were even getting votes in the top 25 before the season started. And wasn't able to, but still a very strong season. I mean, we're talking about it like it's, you know, a bad season. And obviously it was a very good season by any stretch of the
very
imagination.
Very strong season. It was just less than what people were thinking. I mean, even if, like, I don't know if you saw, but they played Michigan State at Little Caesars Arena. And I mean, that was a fight till the end finish. And then the last 2 minutes, Michigan State pulled away. But truly, you saw what they were capable of in that game. You know what I mean? Michigan State ranked number 5 in, you know, in the NCAA. So it's like, you see what they were capable of, you know, playing a team of that caliber and being able to, I mean, not only just compete, but they were ahead a couple times in the game.
With the Oakland University program being as built up and as strong as it is right now, maybe UAD can get up to that level and we'll have a nice little Horizon League. It seems like they haven't gotten that rivalry going in terms of both teams being strong at the same time and getting some real, you know, for the first place in the Horizon League kind of thing that would be nice to see here in the Metro Detroit area.
Definitely. And Oakland has some good young players too. So I think that even though they're losing, you know, really good players, also Coach Campy is building up his younger team. Obviously there's going to be high expectations in the next couple of seasons for them as well, once their freshmen and sophomores become junior seniors. So I'm excited for that.
Absolutely. And Lauren Jabbar, I want to thank you for taking the time here to join us on Locked On Pistons. You can see here on pistons.com and also at the game on the big screen, the huge screen at Little Caesars Arena.
The huge screen. I feel like my face is the size of a small planet sometimes up
yeah,
there.
It was jarring the first time I saw that at the game this year, but you do a great job at the games, and I want to thank you for taking the time. And you can follow her on Twitter at Lauren, L-A-U-R-E-N, Jabbara at J-B-A-R-A. So, Lauren, thanks again.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it, Matt.
Thanks again to Lauren Jabbara. She was great. I really appreciated her coming on the podcast. And by the way, she was in Grand Rapids over the weekend for the MHSAA High School Girls Basketball Finals. And I wanted to pass along congratulations to the state champions up at Saginaw Heritage for Class A, and then Detroit Country Day. The Yellow Jackets, as always, picked up their 13th title in Class B, second straight title for Coach Frank Orlando and that squad. And also Class C was Detroit Edison PSA, and then Class D was Adrian Lenaway Christian. So congratulations to those teams. And the boys will be at it at the Breslin Center this weekend at Michigan State University in East Lansing, Thursday with the semifinals and Saturday with the finals as well. Good coverage on MHSAA.com by my buddy Paul Costanzo as well. If you want to read about those games, check them out. But also be sure to check out Ash Supply Company in downtown Detroit at one of their two locations, or visit their website, AshSupplyCO.com. Again, that's A-S-H-E, SupplyCO.com, to order your monthly subscription of Detroit's best coffee. They're supporting this podcast, so it's our turn to support them. Use promo code LOCKED at checkout, L-O-C-K-E-D, when checking out to order a subscription online, and you will get 20% off your purchase. Again, Ash Supply Company. Drink coffee, live wild. Thanks to those guys for helping us out here at Locked On Pistons. But we're going to be talking about the big game with the Sacramento Kings on Monday night and recapping that on Tuesday's podcast. Looking ahead to the second of a back-to-back against the Phoenix Suns. Now, not a lot to be excited about for those games for Pistons fans, but a chance to check out some of those young players out west that you know from those top high draft picks that Sacramento and Phoenix are always taking. And then they kind of fall off face of the earth. And a Michigander in Devin Booker, obviously from Grand Rapids, will be a guy to watch for Phoenix as well. So some chances to see some interesting players. So I'm actually more excited about those games than maybe some of these other games when playing the Central Division rivals at Little Caesars Arena or something. So to go out west and see something a little bit different is interesting to me, especially maybe to see if the Pistons can do anything to maybe save Stan Van Gundy's job or turn things around so the final dozen or so games aren't as dreary as the last few have been. But give us a follow on the Locked On NBA Network Twitter feed at Locked On NBA Net, and subscribe to us on iTunes. Give us a rating if you would like, and give us a like as well at the Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook Facebook page. But thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the game in Sacramento, California tonight, and we'll talk to you all again soon.